social media of the world. It's calloused us all beyond any kind of level of human feeling.
And one day we'll be dead. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens. Jeff, I know
Anthony.
It. You know it. The concerned citizens know it. They've always known it. Birds are weird.
What is up with the birds?
Hey. Hey, everybody. What's the deal with birds? You know
they're
what I'm saying.
Stuff. They're looking at you. They're flying around.
Committing all of these wild pranks against
they're
mankind.
They're pranking constantly.
I saw a bird one time. There was a family standing outside of Disneyland, taking pictures with each other. Bird stole a kid's hot dog, ran away. Then another bird came in, stole that dad's wallet, ran away.
Wow.
Third
He's
guy.
He's going to go buy another hot dog. He's going to buy a second hot dog with that wallet.
Third bird came in.
Yeah.
While the dad was looking in his pocket for his wallet, other hand, he wasn't paying attention to it, stole the fast pass, checked into the hotel, started ringing up all kinds of services.
All the charges, all the amenities.
Churro, 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 churro. That's $70 worth of churros just right there that I just named.
And then like full-on massage.
Full-on
bird massage. Not cool bird.
Redeeming all the fast passes. And of course, this was in the before times because Disneyland is closed now, and anybody who would go back to Disneyland in this calendar year is certainly taking their life into their own hands. But I'm talking about birds right now.
Yeah, let's stay focused on
birds. Square Bottle sent this in on the We Have Concerns subreddit.
Love a Square Bottle.
It is from the Scientific Journal of Research and Reviews, which that's a title that to me means science.
Yeah, no, I got to renew my subscription
to the Scientific Journal of Research and Reviews.
Because, you know, I love the reviews, but I'm really there for the research. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I love the reviews. I love a good review. I want to know what the scientists think of the things. You know, I want to know how many test tubes it got, you know, out of 10.
That's how they rate it.
Yeah.
That's how they rate it. That's what gets you in. That's what gets you in.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what you come for. You come for the reviews. But a lot of people, too many in my opinion, overlook the research, which is also very interesting.
It's very interesting. And this particular paper is extremely interesting to me because it is written by Daniel T. Baldessare from the Department of Biological Sciences, SUNY Oswego, which, you know, I follow everything Baldessare does. So number
you're
one,
a big
that's
sorry fan.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Big baller, they call me because I love that big Baldessare.
You haven't put up your Baldessare posters in the new apartment yet, but
I haven't.
There's too many of them. You got to decide where they go, huh?
So this man is he's an ornithologist. He's a biologist. He studies birds.
Yeah, he does.
And he submitted this paper.
Do you think he's just angry all the time?
The birds are.
Yeah.
And
he's just studying birds, just getting pissed off.
He's just like, man, listen, one time Baldessare saw a bird. There was a family that was just having lunch at a sidewalk cafe.
Yeah.
Bird shits on a dude's pancakes.
Oh.
Then another bird comes in, unties their dog's leash. Dog goes running down the street. Guy goes to run after the dog. Third bird comes in. Sits down at the table next to the dude's wife. 5 minutes later, that guy's wife is leaving with that bird.
Ah, classic bird prank.
That's
it's
a
the
classic
old one, two,
bird
the old
prank.
1-2-3 they do. They call it the 1-2-3.
Bird
you shit
pranks
on the pancakes,
come in threes.
You release the dog, and then you steal the wife. That's what happens. You talk her up, you
that's
know?
Exactly what Tony Montana said in Scarface. First you get the pancakes, then you release the dog, then you get the wife.
That's when he said, say hello to my little friend. He was talking about the bird.
But anyway, Jeff, shut up, because here's the name of this paper. Jeff, shut up.
Wait, I want to ask you one thing.
Jeff, quiet down.
Do you think that his friend...
Leave it alone.
Do you think that they, around the office...
Jeff, shut up.
Do you think they call him Birdessare?
Jeff, we're 4 minutes in. I'm going to tell you the title of this paper.
Okay.
The title of this paper is, literally, in the Scientific Journal of Research and Reviews.
Yeah.
The title of the paper is... What's the deal with birds?
Wait. Did we write this?
This dude gets it.
I feel like we could have written this.
Finally, science has caught up to our forward-thinking views, Jeff.
Is this research or just with birds? Is this a full research paper or is this just a series of anecdotes where he's like, "Hey, this one time I saw this bird
at a park.
Bing,
ding, 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 ding,
What's the deal with birds? Who are the ad wizards that came up with this one? Do you think he's just like recounting bird moments and he's like, what's the deal with that one?
Well, I can tell you, Jeff, because I've read the paper.
I can't wait to hear.
I'm going to read you a little bit of the intro to the abstract of this paper. Are you ready for this? This is written by birds. Daniel T. Baldessare, Department of Biological Sciences, SUNY Oswego. Mm-hmm. Great school, SUNY Oswego.
Yeah.
Many people wonder, what's the deal with birds?
I love this guy already. I love this guy so much.
This is a common query. Birds are pretty weird. I mean,
no, this, you are making this up.
No, this is the paper. This is the paper. I mean, they have feathers. WTF.
No way.
Most other animals don't have feathers. To investigate this issue, I looked at some birds. I looked at a woodpecker, a parrot, and a penguin. They were all pretty weird. In conclusion, we may never know the deal with birds, but further study is warranted.
Science. Gotta love science.
Keywords, people who birds, don't love science. Ornithology, behavior, phenotype, genomics, climate change, WTF.
All these Marc Maron fans are like, why is this coming up in my search feed? Does there more to the paper than the abstract? What does he go into detail about, like, compare and contrast the penguin to the woodpecker?
Jeff, of course he does. Of course he does. Let me send you a link to this paper, and I want to draw your attention to a graph that is on page 2 of 4. Very important graph.
It's 4 pages long.
Well, this is
What's the deal with birds?
It's 9 pages long in total, but this is the free preview that you can get. If you look down at the bottom of page 2 of 9, you can see a graph that one of the axes, the horizontal axes, begins with looks like a fish, and then ends with weird beak.
The other axis is even better.
The other axes, north and south, is climate change. And then as you can see, the red graph, Jeff, the red line across the graph, represents the deal.
The deal. What is the deal with these birds? Looks like fish, weird beak. We've got on one end penguin.
Sure, that makes sense.
You got to hand it to him. Does look like fish.
I'm following the science so far.
On the other end, all the way across the spectrum, we got weird beak, and then we got that parrot right there.
Yeah, and then now, the woodpecker does not go above the looks like a fish axis, but it does move towards weird beak. And I want you to know that this figure, just so everybody knows, it's the relationship between climate change, looks like a fish, and weird beak. X values were scaled between 0 and 1 for visualization purposes, Jeff, just so you know the scale of this graph. Now, Jeff, I'd also like to draw your attention to the table number 1 on page 2, which is the principal components analyses used to generate aggregate measures of weird birds and what their deal is. So
I love this guy so much.
None of these graphs make any sense. And there's a reason for this, Jeff. There's a reason why this paper is so funny. There's a reason why this paper is absolutely hilarious and goofy and wonderful. And that is that Daniel Baldessare noticed in his email a solicitation from the Scientific Journal of Research and Reviews offering him a position for publication in this journal for money. This is one of many.
This is a protest paper.
This is a protest paper. This is clearly a fake journal. Scientific Journal of Research and Reviews. Come on. What does that mean? It just means we do science. We publish science. Fuck you. What is your journal about? This guy saw this and he goes, okay, clearly this is a scam. Clearly, this is a bad journal. And we've heard about these before. We've covered a few of these before, a few of these articles, where peer review has been totally corrupted in a lot of circles. So this journal is clearly just, and listen, if you work in science, if you work in research, they always say in academics, publish or perish, right? you have to prove that you're doing work. And the best way to prove that you're doing work is to get published. So a lot of these journals are totally, totally dishonest. Now, the problem with this is that bad science gets published, and then it gets reported on by a lot of science communicators and reporters that maybe...
Prominent award-winning podcasts.
Well, I was going to say that maybe don't have the scientific acumen that this award-winning podcast has, Jeff. Right. Between the two of us, we have one ex-YouTube science reporter and a guy who really likes Isaac Asimov. And most people don't have that level of qualification like we do.
That kind of intellectual rigor.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's absolutely correct. Quick, Jeff, what's the first law of robotics?
Do not harm a human or by inaction allow a human come to harm.
Thank you. Most people don't know that. That's basic science 101.
Yeah. That is science. And thank you. Thank you for proving our bona fides, Anthony. I appreciate it.
So he goes, all right, I'm going to go ahead and submit a total garbage paper. Not only is it going to be a bad faith hypothesis, it's just not going to make sense. And the research...
My favorite line here is, this is the first study I'm aware of to attempt to quantify the deal with birds. Unfortunately, the results were ambiguous. So the premise is ridiculous, and he came to no conclusion.
Yeah, and he's straight up saying it. All you have to do is read the abstract, and you would deny this paper, right? But they didn't deny it. They fucking published it.
Well, there is an entire page of references.
Sure, because this guy's a real...
impressive.
This guy's a real biologist.
Yeah, I mean, look, if this paper was submitted to me, first thing I do, scroll down to the references section. If it's a page or more, it's getting approved. Look at all these references.
Look at these references. I called his old manager, and it sounded like a dude who picked up in an arcade with a really high voice. And he's like, he worked for me at the science. Yeah, Uncle Daniel, I mean, Mr. Baldessari definitely worked for me at the science.
Good enough for me. Good enough.
But what I like is that these footnotes actually, and this bibliography, these references actually correspond to real bird research. So he throws real things in. If you listen to this introduction, birds are very strange. Some people are like, whoa, they're flying around and stuff. What's the deal with that? This sentiment is shared by people across socioeconomic backgrounds. Figuring out what the deal is with birds is one of the utmost scientific importance. It is now widely appreciated that the majority of socially monogamous passerine species are weird. And that's when you go to footnote number one, which is extra pair paternity in birds, a review of interspecific variation and adaptive function. So this is actually about how bird mating works and how it is a little weird and unique within the animal kingdom. So he's backing up his idiocy with real references. And that's what I love in this paper.
Can I read another section? It says detailed behavior analyses. That's the subheading.
Yeah.
This sentence, I presented territorial males with six different experimental treatments with various combinations of local, foreign, and heterospecific control plumage and song types. That was a lot of work, so I didn't want to do that again.
I love
it. This guy has invented the onion of science papers.
It's so good. It's so, so good. And I mean, this is what's up. Predatory journals are a very, very, very common scam in academic fields, okay? They solicit manuscript submissions, right? And then they charge fees. They skip quality checks. And then they just fucking submit. And the problem is actual peer-reviewed studies, big ones, like important ones, like PLOS-1, which is a huge one that I used to reference all the time when I was doing daily science reporting, because so many people go through that journal. It's respected, but they charge for submissions. And so it's blurred the line between whether a journal that asks you for money is a scam or not.
I think we've hit on a really big issue here, and it is one that I think is even more prominent now, where we're seeing, especially as we muddle our way through a global science crisis, a global health crisis, and we're trying to rely on data and findings and experimentation to figure out how to best handle it. And we're seeing this pushback of anti-intellectualism and people who are doubting individual scientists and scientists as a group. How do we prevent this kind of muddying of the waters from causing people to lose faith entirely in any kind of expert research? I mean, I saw Rand Paul sit there, in a session of Congress saying, "Who are you? Who are you, expert, to call yourself an expert?"
Right.
How? And I think that's what people start to think is if these kinds of things can permeate the scientific community in what appears to be a legitimate way, even if it's not actually legitimate, and it causes people to feel like science can be doubted or that there are opinion can be brought in. How do we combat that? How do we defend ourselves against this anti-intellectual, anti-science wave?
I mean, that's the trick, right? Is we are in this point now where it's like, well, here's the science. It's like, well, I don't believe your science. I just don't believe it. It doesn't match what I think, and it doesn't match what I see with my eyes, but that's the whole reason we have science. It's like, there are things that we see with our eyes where we don't know why they happen, or they are counterintuitive to what is actually happening. And one example of what you're talking about right now is the hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah,
Where it was like, it was based on an incredibly deeply flawed study.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a malaria drug. So we know that it's a working medication. That's the other tricky thing, right? This is sort of it sort of borders on the idea of homeopathy, what's going on with this. So it works for one thing, and it works a little bit. So is this the thing? And the problem is all of this study on this medication, you know, you're supposed to have a double-blind, randomized, controlled trial, right? You're supposed to, so, like, the study's been designed so, like, the physician and the patients don't know who received a real drug versus a fake drug, right? And then so the researchers...
There can be no skewing of the findings because they don't even know what they're expecting. There's no expectations.
Right. And then the researchers don't know which patients are going to go into what group, and the makeup of the group is roughly equivalent. This hydroxychloroquine study didn't follow any of those rules, and they still published because there was a paper out there that would publish them. And they knew how to word it, and they knew how to phrase it, and they knew how to make it look like science. And so we've got two really tricky things happening right here. We've got people who refuse to believe science that doesn't fit their outcome, that their perceived outcomes that they want. And then we've got scientists who are willing to bend the rules to get the outcome that people like.
Right. And also to make money. There's a lot. I worry so much about this eventual road we're leading to where someone's going to introduce a vaccine and it will be rushed to market because we're also hungry for it. We're also anxious to get back to a quote unquote normal existence and there are so many people with vested interests in making people feel safe and secure, even if some of those vested interests come from a genuine good place.
Yeah.
That I worry about a potential vaccine that has side effects that aren't immediately apparent, that, you know, 6 months, 8 months, a year later, people start having really adverse effects, and then what happens? You know, then what? Do we all take this vaccine? The entire world? I don't. It's a very scary idea of these things that aren't tested to their full extent. It is. I don't know. It's a weird time.
It's the it's the amount of special interest money on all the way up the chain, all the way through this entire thing. Because if you're a research lab and you are looking for money to do some sort of research on something, who's going to fund it for you? Well, most of the anti-smoking research was funded by cigarette companies in the beginning.
Right.
And they grabbed labs and studies and researchers who would make sure that they got the outcome that they wanted, or would throw away results and keep doing the study until they got the results that they wanted, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of worry about this. And then there's also, you know, with something like the hydroxychloroquine, it's like, well, obviously a pharmaceutical company makes that, you know?
Yeah.
And there are people that have, you know, and there are political reasons too. I mean, we're seeing it here. We're seeing a real desperation in our own government, a real desperation where it's like, this is bad, but you got to shut up about saying it's bad because it's making us all look bad. And that leads to when you add that to the feeling that we're all having after 90 days of being cooped up, where it's like, just let me out, just let me out.
Yeah.
You get a lot of people rushing and ignoring kind of important science. Like, is birds weird?
Yeah. I think we need to really double down on figuring out what the deal is with birds.
Thank you.
You know?
Out of all the things that are happening right now, I think that's what we need. Here's what we did learn this week. We did learn that monkeys is pranksters.
Monkeys giving birds a run for their money, you know what I'm saying?
We did hear that birds are pranksters, but now we've also heard that monkeys is pranksters, Jeff.
You know what I take away from this paper?
What do you think,
Mr. Baldessari? I take away the fact that this dude needs way more funding. You know, he dabbled in what's the deal with birds, came up with no conclusions. Let's throw money at this problem. Maybe a longer study with more scientists, more offices involved in figuring it out. Maybe we finally come to an understanding of what's the deal with birds.
Thank you. Listen, maybe he didn't reach the conclusions that we need right now. Maybe we don't know why that bird was able to steal that guy's wife so fast. Maybe we, you know, it had beautiful
maybe
plumage.
We'll never know.
But that's correlation is not causation. You know what I mean? That's why we need a Baldessari.
That's why we need a double blind date. You know what I'm saying?
That's what we need. Listen, we're going to send you two on a double blind date. And listen, Karen, if you like going out with that pigeon, we'll send you on another date for free. We'll pay for it.
I'm just saying, my husband, he would have eaten those poop pancakes. You know what I'm saying?
Listen.
I don't want to be with a guy like that.
Listen, your husband's a cuck. You need to go out with this bird. Forget a cuck and get with a cluck. You know what I'm saying?
That's classic bird line.
Classic bird line.
That always gets them the ladies.
That's what a bird used on my ex. I haven't seen her in 10 years. Just walked right out. But no, this is funny. Some other things that happened during this, which I really love, is Baldessari immediately caught on to the fact that this was a terrible journal. They asked him for $1,700 for their fee to publish this paper. $1,700.
Did he pay it?
He talked them down to literally nothing. Talked them down. They came down from $1,700 to $99, and then they offered to do it free because he told them he was going to go to Nature. He told them, well, if you won't publish
Nature
this.
Nature wants this paper.
Yeah, if you won't publish this, Nature wants to publish it.
Amazing. I love that. All right, so I hear your offer of $1,700.
Yeah.
Let me give you a counter offer. How about go fuck yourself? How about that? Is that something we can work with?
Whoa, Dr. Baldessari, like, listen, we're a highly respected journal of both science and research.
I understand.
I mention we've added review?
What?
That's right. The one S and the two R's.
All right. I will raise my offer from go fuck yourself to a stone cold zero. How about nothing? I pay you nothing and you publish my paper about the deal with birds.
Let me ask you this. Is these birds weird?
You got to see the graph.
Oh, fuck, there's a graph. Okay, we'll take it. He said that he thinks the reason they did it is because if they did it for free the first time, he'd come back when other papers of his couldn't get published and he'd pay them then. Like the first one's free kind of thing for bad science.
It's like every piece of new media content I've ever been hired for.
do it for the exposure.
Do the first one for free, Jeff, they say. And then the second one, you'll get money.
J- just do it for the exposure, you know? You'll have fun. It's a good crew. You know, there's good science.
As soon as it goes viral, you'll get paid, they say.
Listen, baby, once this stuff goes viral, we're all going to get paid. I'm sitting on 100 videos I've done over the last 5 years, and once any one of them goes viral,
that's all it takes.
All it takes is one, baby, and then you got that Jake Paul money. Then you're
Jake
punching
Paul.
People.
We all want to be Jake Paul.
Listen, everybody wants to be Jake Paul.
Everybody, look at Jake Paul. What about that would you not want?
Look to your left, you look to your right. One of you is the next Jake Paul and should be embarrassed. Jeff,
Jake Paul, if you're listening, and I know you are. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Jake Paul, if you're listening, and I know you are, stop listening. Get out of here. There is a list right now that's up. This is such a problem, called the List of Hijacked Journals. You go to predatoryjournals.com. Oh, wow. Predatoryjournals.com.
Can I tell you how disappointed I was when I went to predatoryjournals.com and it wasn't a list of journals about sweet ass predators in the wild?
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
Man.
If it wasn't, I'm doing my usual round, all the websites I like, and I'm like, you know what? I want to find some sweet ass journals.
You're clicking around on the sweet ass journals web ring on GeoCities.
Yeah, you know how I do in 1998. Yeah. You know how I am. And I'm like, I want to see some sweet-ass journals about like some hawks or maybe a crocodile. You know what I'm saying? Something, some sweet-ass predators.
Yeah, Carl Weathers.
yeah. Nothing.
Predatoryjournals.com.
Huge disappointment. I give it one test tube out of 10.
But this is a huge thing. Stop Predatory Journals has a list of all of these journals, which are just fucking fake. And Jeff, when you start scrolling, you don't stop scrolling. That's how long this list is. And I can tell
That's bad, man. That's bad.
I can tell you that as I scroll down this list, look, all these journal names do sound a lot alike. There's a reason they sound a lot alike, but there are a few that I've definitely seen people report on and from. You know what I mean? Stuff has gotten picked up from some of these journals. And not only are there like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these.
Oh my God. Look at them all.
If you look at the hijacked list, these are journals that used to be.
They started good and they went bad.
That's right. Journals gone bad. They went to the theater with their parents. And it could have gone either way. You know what it means? It could have gone either way.
It could have.
You know?
The thing that's so depressing.
You can be Batman or you can be Hush. You know what I'm saying? It's the same story.
Oh yeah,
it's the same story.
Spoilers for Hush, by the way.
Spoilers for a 25-year-old comic book.
Some of the titles: Journal of Technology.
Yeah, dude, that's where I would go for my technology news.
Psychology. Yeah, Journal of Psychology and Theology.
Great.
Journal of International Journal of Game Theory.
Ooh, baby, I love that.
Hijacked.
Love game theory. Now, is that game theory an actual game theory, or is that game theory in like a wear a weird hat and nega woman sort of way?
I hope it's either way. It's been hijacked. It doesn't matter.
It used to be a legitimate journal of negging. It used to be and pick up artistry, and then it was hijacked. And now it is, and now it's just, it's not the quality publication it used to be.
List of this one.
Yeah.
The Transylvanian Review.
No.
How do I know what the Transylvanians think about anything if it's been hijacked? The Transylvanian Review, my most trusted source of Transylvanian knowledge.
When I want to know how the vampires feel about anything, Jeff.
You read the Transylvanian Review.
The Transylvanian Review definitely contributed some of the technology that we saw in the Underworld movies. And definitely it led to some of the technology we saw in like maybe a Blade 3.
Yeah. You know? Oh yeah, Blade 3. It was big. It's in the credits of Blade 3.
A Dracula 2000, perhaps. I don't know.
Transylvania Review. You know, the Transylvania Review does hard hitting reviews also. And they also use the test tube scale. It's just test tubes full of blood.
Whoa, spooky.
Yeah, it's spooky scary.
But the reason this list of predatory journals exists is because there was an original list of the same journals created by one man, Jeffrey Beal. He was a scholarly communications librarian at the University of Colorado at Denver. He created a list in 2008, and that list was a list of predatory journals. He was like, these journals are false. They are paid off. They are they're fucking lying to all of us, and they're destroying science, and they're destroying science communication and science research. He eventually had to stop running it himself because he became a target for abuse.
Wow.
And harassment from people who represented these journals, people who had been published in these journals. Basically, yeah. Basically, there is a riffraff of science, Jeff. You wouldn't think so, but there is a riff. There are shady grifters of science.
Man, you don't want to meet them in a dark alley.
No.
Their white coats and their pocket protectors.
Ooh, I'll tell you, you go down a dark alley and you get them away from their brightly colored wagons where they sell all their salves and medicines and tinctures, and they're real dangerous. They'll pull out a blackjack or a fireplace poker.
You wouldn't think they would be carrying them, but those white coats are long and have lots of pockets.
One of those tiny guns that only shoots a single bullet that you pull out of your ankle.
Yeah, always in your ankle, those ones. Or sometimes they're spring loaded in your forearm.
That's right. But listen, the fakey scientists don't have those because they don't know how to build them. They don't have a real STEM education.
Well, you got to read the International Journal of Spring-Loaded Gun Mounts.
No, that one's not fake, is it?
And it's been hijacked.
No.
It started out legit, where they gave you real good tips on how to build your own at-home spring-loaded gun holster.
Yeah.
Hijacked.
And also, to be fair, as they stated in the foreword of every issue of that quarterly, you don't have to use it to spring-load a gun. You know what I mean? That's just what most people... You could use a boxing glove... a cigarette lighter in a social situation is very fun.
Yes.
You know?
Maybe an ace if you're in a high stakes game of poker.
Sure.
With some underground ne'er-do-wells.
In a riverboat, you know, or in space. Either way, it works.
Either way.
I just want to point out that a study in 2015 by researchers at the Hankin School of Economics in Finland found that predatory publishing skyrocketed between 2010 and 2014, during which the number of scholarly articles published in journals on Beale's list increased nearly tenfold. Between the years of 2010 and 2014, we had a 1,000% increase in the amount of fake and bad and poorly researched science that was getting thrown out into the world. And I do not think that there is I'll say this. That's also a time when we saw a huge skyrocketing in science communication, right?
Yeah.
Because these fake journals publish everywhere and make their stuff free and easy to read. Because another problem that happens in academics is you have to pay for access to these papers, and it's an exorbitant fee.
Right, so you get the free ones that are much more accessible. That messaging, flawed though it may be, permeates much more quickly, and it muddies the waters, as I said. I find this so depressing, Anthony. I find all of this so depressing. We started out with this really great article about what the deal is with birds, and now I'm into a depressing place.
Well, I don't want you to be in a depressed place, Jeff, because... there are certain things where when we see them, you know, if you're somebody who follows this stuff, if you're somebody who is a critical thinker, if you're somebody who reads a lot, researches a lot, enjoys this stuff themselves, a lot of this stuff is going to be naturally red flagged to you. Like last week when we saw that backwards moving universe, the first thing we said was, oh boy, people did not pay attention to this, right? This can't be true. It's cool, but it can't be true. And I think the thing is, everything you learned in sort of basic paper writing in high school and college holds true when you're reading things on the internet. Make sure they have two sources, right? Make sure that these blogs aren't just connecting back to each other or all to the same place. Make sure that they're talking to multiple researchers in the field. Do your own research when this stuff happens. And I think
it's a lot of work.
It's
a lot of responsibility.
Being informed and being intelligent, I think at any time in human history, is a lot of work and a lot of responsibility, but it's work and responsibility that makes you a better person and makes society better. And it's not as hard. I'll tell you what, it seems like a lot of work when you compare it to clicking on a headline and reading two paragraphs of the cool new story about a universe that moves backwards in time.
Yeah.
But it's not that much more work than that. It's just finding the original source, reading, and actually learning about the real interesting thing that you wanted to learn about from the beginning. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think you need to be
depressed. I like the fact that we here on this show,
an award-winning science podcast,
in particular, yes, are advocating for people to not get misinformation. Because if there's one place you can be certain no erroneous information will be communicated to you, no concepts that are loosely based on flimsy comedic premises mixed in with actual science news would ever reach your sensitive ears, it's here. So rest assured, you will not be led astray by us talking about birds stealing people's wives.
Listen to me very carefully. This is the kind of science reporting that the world needs, and if you want to support it, we only ask that you head to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. We might be the last real academic show in the world.
It is your responsibility, nay, your responsibility.
Thank you.
To keep us afloat, because where else will you get the real news, the stuff that is important to know?
Yeah.
Where else? We not only are going to give you the absolute truth, but we are going to ask for your money to do it.
That's right. And that's how you know that you can trust us. So head to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. Get yourself bonus episodes of the show. Get yourself early releases of those episodes. Get yourself access to our Discord. A Discord is... what is a Discord other than a peer-reviewed chat room, really?
Yes. Where's the last bastion of science, the Discord chat.
That's right. Only on the Discord can you get the real, real truth about science, and that's why we put it behind a paywall.
Yes. Because if it was free, you wouldn't want it. I am not joking when I say our Discord has rooms such as Bird Pranks with a Z.
That's how you spell it.
Nickname creator.
Yep.
Cool science news.
Yep.
And emojis.
Thank you. Thank you, Discord. Thank you, us. Thank you, science. Patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.
Hey, Anthony, I know we've already gone into a depressing place.
No, you have. I'm not depressed.
Okay, good. Well, I know that the world is tough right now, but I want to remind everyone that our show is called We Have Concerns, not We Have Reassuring Feelings.
Yeah, not We Have Rainbows For You. Not Here Come the Cookies.
No, I have...
It was originally called Here Come the Cookies, but Alec Baldwin had a podcast that was also called Here Come the Cookies.
Yeah, his is way different than what we were going to do, though. Yeah, yeah, I thought it could still work in the marketplace, but Anthony was like, nope.
We actually were. Nope. I don't know if you remember, we were going to call the podcast Here's the Thing, and then we found out Alec Baldwin had a podcast called Here's the Thing.
That's true. I didn't realize that was the joke you were
making.
That
was the joke I was making.
That is an accurate,
it was a joke for an audience of one who forgot it. Once again, that's patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.
All right, so I have something else for you to be concerned about, dear audience, and it's flesh-eating worms.
No. Monkey stole the virus. Jeff, I can't deal with a flesh-eating worm right now.
Well, it turns out, Anthony, we have been waging a war against flesh-eating worms for over 50 years.
But, Jeff, worms is supposed to eat us. We die and we go into the ground and the worms is worm food.
Oh, well, let me tell you about a specific worm, Anthony, a specific worm called the screw worm that doesn't wait till you're dead.
Oh, a name and a promise.
Yeah, it is a name and a promise.
That screw worm, man. It's going to fuck you up.
This is a story that was sent to us by John Jackson, posted on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com.
Is John Jackson the guy that sang the song Steppin' Out?
I do not know.
We Steppin' Out. That's Joe Jackson. Go on.
Anyway, John sends us this story that was in The Atlantic about these screw worms. Screw worms are what they're called. And here's what they do, particularly potent in Florida in the late 50s. What would happen is deer... or cattle, livestock of all kinds, they would start freaking out, displaying some strange behavior, like shaking their heads back and forth, looking like they're trying to get something off of them. Mm-hmm. And then they started developing open wounds, strange open wounds,
okay,
along their foreheads, on their backs, around their belly buttons. Newborn calves would have their belly buttons torn open. No,
I know what this
open.
Is. I've seen this before. You've got yourself a witch with two V's. You've got yourself
like
a
that.
Vitch.
A vitch?
Yeah. Like in yes. that movie. The Vitch.
That movie Vitch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it before. Yeah. The corn's going to go fallow.
I remember watching that movie.
You watched the Vitch?
Yeah.
I'm the Vindo Viper. No, I'm here to vipe the Vindos.
Dude, I love that you made that reference. No one gets that reference. I make that reference all the time and no one gets it. A couple of kids that watch G.I. Joe. So they realized that even pets, even dogs, any warm-blooded animal, if it had an open wound of any kind, even like I said, even like a belly button of a newborn calf, any open wound, if a tick got into you and kind of made an open wound, these screw worms would get in open wounds.
And that's why in Florida, we don't farm or raise warm-blooded animals anymore. That's why it's all alligators.
It's all fucking alligators.
It's all cold blood, man.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Because we were just like, when faced with two options, and one of them is figuring something out or doing something different and stupider, we're always going to take doing something different and more stupid.
It's like that old Frost poem, right? When faced with a fork in the road, take the one more stupid by.
Yeah, take
right?
the one that leads to a Checkers and get yourself a Rally's. Get yourself a fucking cheeseburger and don't think about it. That's the Florida way.
Indeed.
If you look at the Florida flag, the Latin on it, number one isn't Latin because we couldn't figure it out, so it's pig Latin. And it just means do the easier, dumber thing.
That's the Florida way.
That's the Florida way.
Well,
and I'll die to defend it.
What actually happened is this was a scourge. This was it was wiping out cattle, livestock, and it was causing problems.
I'm sure. Like, how long did it take, number one, to figure out that it was these worms? And then number two, how do you solve a problem like a worma?
Oh, well, there was an entire agricultural department of the USDA called COPEG that was put together to attempt to fight this thing. There was a guy in the 30s named Edward Knipling.
Oh, that's a bummer
it has
for
a
him.
K. There's a K.
That's
it's
a bummer.
Either Knipling or Nipling.
I bet he grew up to be a real hard ass that didn't take anything from anyone.
Well, the motherfucker studied screw worms. You know, I think you have to be a hard ass to be able to study screw worms and stare into open wounds of warm-blooded animals.
I can see how somebody who had to go to junior high with the last name Knipling grew up more comfortable around worms than people.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the guy who was on the team that invented DDT.
Oh, good. So this is a guy who took no shit from the environment.
Exactly. They basically helped win World War II by inventing DDT, which protected troops from insect-borne diseases. They turned to him and said,
"Perfectly safe. Listen, kid, dip your children in DDT as though they were Achilles, and they will come out mighty warriors, impervious
to bugs." What happened with this Knipling fella is that the fallout of DDT, which, you know, had some positive effects and then eventually was a horrible scourge that, you know, ended up being a very big problem. He decided there's got to be a better way to prevent this kind of insect problem. There's got to be a better way than spraying the world with poison. And so he decided to try to figure out a way to stop screw worms without poisoning them, without spraying poison on people and crops and cattle and livestock.
Sure, leave it to the guy who invented DDT to do that. That'll be fine.
Well, what he came up with was, I mean, they're called screw worms. He's like, let's take that first part out of the equation. He decided to figure out a way to sterilize them. Sterilize screw worms. So what he noticed was, as he observed their behavior in I think in Florida, he was studying their behavior, Anyway, he noticed that
these worms fuck. Like these worms do. These worms do be fucking though.
They're called screw worms, but it turns out that the females fuck exactly once. Exactly one time they fuck. Then they go and lay their eggs inside an open wound.
There are 10 dudes who are going to tweet at us after this episode comes out with the joke, "Sounds like my wife." Don't send that joke, dudes. Don't say, here's what I want you to do with that joke. I want you to write it on a piece of paper, put it into a capsule, and throw it down a well that goes into the past. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, go on.
So after mating, the females lay their eggs in open wounds, and then the resulting larvae eat through a ring of the surrounding flesh. Once the larvae are engorged on the blood and viscera of the flesh, they emerge as a new generation of these flying screw worms.
They rise like eldritch gods, gorged on the flesh of cows. Yeah.
So what Nippling
realized... Don't just
realized,
say, yeah. This is fucking... That's what they do.
It's accurate.
This is nightmarish.
It's accurate.
Don't just say yeah to that.
I acknowledge that.
They're all... Each one of that them. Tiny vampires.
I read about it in the Transylvanian Review. Listen,
before they got hijacked. You know what I'm saying? And
this was when they were...
Ever since they got hijacked, it's been like, screw worms are awesome. Screw worms kick
Weird,
ass.
Right? It was like a 180 degree turn in the Transylvania
Review. Like,
we're
so, listen, we published some old research, but now there's been this new research by Dr. Screw Wormington. They're not even trying.
Yeah, it does seem like an odd nom de plume, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's real weird. And if you can't trust, like you said, if you can't trust the Transylvanian Review to talk to you about vampires in this day and age, who can you trust?
Yeah, can you trust anything to talk about anything?
No. You can trust
us.
Anyway,
so what Nippling realized was they screw once, the screw worms. The females will only mate once their entire life. And if they mate with a sterile male, they never have any offspring. Don't have any offspring, no larva inside open wounds, no problem.
This is a lot this was in the 50s and 60s. So I would imagine we've extrapolated on this research. And there are places where we do this now with mosquitoes to get rid of malaria and dengue fever and Zika, things like that. We introduce sterile male mosquitoes into a population, and over time, the population drops. I would imagine that we got that research from this research.
Yes, and what we do today in 2020 and have been doing for decades is that every single week, a plane, or a series of planes, drops 14.7 million sterilized screw worms over the Panama-Colombia border.
And they say, enjoy yourselves, boys.
Go forth, screw worm.
Hey.
Knock yourself
do
out.
Do what you've been born to do, my dude.
Every week, 14.7 million of these horrible screw worms are dumped on the Panama-Colombia border because we have decided to form a wall where we say, you shall not pass, screw worm, or if you pass, you're going to be sterile.
I love the idea of this scientist being just like a cool uncle or older brother driving these worms to spring break, you know? Just go, have fun. Go do your thing. Go screw. Enjoy yourselves.
You sure? Because you said my whole life I got to be careful.
Here's a little worm condom. Whether you use it or not is up to you. Go on.
It's so weird that you gave us so much of this worm vodka, which is super weird because in worm vodka...
Yeah.
You drink the worm, which is super odd, and I don't
even...
Well,
that's tequila. You're thinking of tequila. So don't
I'm
worry, worms.
I don't know anything.
Jeff, that's so sweet. I'm going to break the bit. I was about to run with it.
I tried to
I would have done it, buddy. I would have yes-anded your bit. I would have made it about worm vodka.
I tried to do it.
I know nothing about anything that's cool.
That's so,
Anthony.
No, God bless your heart. Oh man, that's so great that you put the worm in the vodka. I love
God,
it.
I'm a dummy.
I love. No, you're not a dummy. You're a good soul. You're a sweet, good-hearted soul. That's what you are.
You know how I got that first rule of robotics thing right when you threw it at me, and then the fucking alcohol thing I can't get.
But I mean, I listen.
Story of my
life. No, dude, listen. Everybody understands the first rule of robotics because of Will Smith.
I guess that's true. He's cool.
He's pretty cool.
He knows how to drink. He knows how to drink tequila. He
probably doesn't. He's a 55-year-old dad. You ever watch his YouTube channel? He's not drinking. He's just hanging out.
All right. Well, let me tell you more about these screw
worms. Yeah, sure.
Worms,
so because, they get dropped off at Worm Spring Break.
Yeah.
Where they drink their worm vodka. Huh, buddy?
Yeah. But here's the question that I know you're thinking about, Anthony. The question that's on your mind is, where the hell did we find 14.7 sterilized screw worms? Right? Am I right?
On a Sunday at noon?
Yeah. At this time of year?
There's no way.
In this geography? Where are we finding
Prime
them?
Prime Now never has them. We got to wait until Tuesday.
Oh, you try to Prime Now that shit? Not going to happen. No, we make them. We have a facility.
We make them just like our father and our father's father and our father's father's father. We were born screwworm fabricators and we'll die screwworm fabricators. Probably of screwworm wounds.
Probably. So here's the thing. There are 115 people employed in a former sugar plantation in Panama that keep this plant operating 24 hours a day, every day, to produce 20 million sterile screw worms.
Love it.
And I know what you're thinking, Anthony. I know the question that's on your mind. How does that work? What's that job
well,
like?
Well, here's my big question, Jeff. My big question is, we have to make sterile screw worms. But in order to make sterile screw worms, we gotta let the screw worms fuck and create regular screw worms. So we have enough regular yes. screw worms to sterilize. And this just seems like if one thing goes wrong, we're actually exacerbating an already terrible problem. Do you know what I mean?
That's why they... Oh, yes. That's why they also police this place.
Tiny worm police?
Motorcycles?
Tiny worm police in little hats with little motorcycles?
They protect the perimeter looking for fucking animals that have wounds that they shouldn't have, to make sure that none of the actual screw worms that aren't sterilized get
we
out.
We do screw worm asking, testing, Anthony. And we don't do fucking COVID testing for free in every state.
Hey, man, that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, let me put a
right.
pin in that. That was too real. Go on.
So, I know what you're asking, Anthony. Two questions.
You always think that that you know what I'm asking, and so far you're like, well, you're. You're like 50-50, but I'm going to let you run with this. Go ahead, the mentalist.
How do we sterilize them 20 million screw worms a week in the old facility?
Get Mall Mountain, Mountain Dew, the yellow number 5.
It's Mountain Dew Red Extreme, whatever the fuck it's called.
Code Red. It's Code Red.
Code Red, yeah. So I also don't know anything about soft
drinks.
You're
just bad on beverages.
Liquor.
You're weak on beverages.
Beverages is my blind spot, man.
Listen, when we go to trivia night and it's me and Jeff, we always make sure that we bring a beverages guy because we know that all the beverage related questions, Jeff is going to be like, I don't know, water? No, Jeff.
It's solid foods. I'm aces.
Oh, he's so
you know
good
saying?
At solid foods. I can hold up an apple and a hamburger and he knows the difference between the two of them every time.
Every time.
Every time. But I'm telling you, you hold up Kool-Aid and a soda and he's just like, I don't know, water? No, Jeff.
It's true. I don't know anything. Okay, so here's how we sterilize the screw worms, Anthony. Nippling's research was okay. I know that what I learned in the horrible wars that I helped propagate. Mm-hmm. I learned that radiation fucks with living things.
Okay,
I'm gonna try to radiate these things. So you realize, okay, we can irradiate them into sterility. But here's the rub, Anthony.
We can't let them know we're doing it. We gotta wear disguises. The worms will see radiation coming a mile away.
That's right. That's why a series of clowns irradiate screwworms in a former sugar factory.
Like that fucking Jerry, like that fucking Jerry Lewis movie.
It's Patch Adams, is what it is. It's Patch Adams for sterilization.
Okay, I was going much darker, but that's okay. We'll do Patch Adams. Yeah, we'll do Patch Adams.
So no, what they do is the problem is you want to irradiate them into sterility, but you don't want to irradiate them to the point where females don't find them attractive. You radiate them too much, a female's like, oh dear God, what happened
now,
to you?
Now wait a second. I've seen the Toxic Avenger movies, and that's not true. Sometimes a real nerdy worm can get irradiated and turn into a real, like, sure, he's physically kind of gross, but for whatever reason, the women love him. Because he's virile.
Now listen.
Or a Spiderman.
The last person.
Sometimes it's Anthony, a Spiderman situation. Everybody likes Peter Parker this. After a Spiderman situation.
The last person that's gonna shame your kink is nippling. You know what I'm saying? Nippling is not going to shame anyone's kink.
Rudyard Nippling is what his friends used to call him because in secret he was a big pervert. He was writing the Jungle Book. And they're like, Rudyard Kipling, more like Rudyard Nippling. You know what this guy's into? Why has that been in the background? Why has that been the joke that my background processes have been trying to figure out for 20 minutes? I'm like, there's a joke in nippling. That's it? That's what I got? Cool.
It's the Rudyard Kipling?
Yeah, that's the one that I got.
You know, I'll take
all
it.
All right.
No, but that's the problem. You can't just rely on the kinky ones that are into the Toxic Avenger. You got to get a wide swath of all the female screw.
Who do you think's hot? Wait, but who do you think is hotter though? Regular Bruce Banner or Professor Hulk?
Me personally, Professor Hulk every day.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, he's got the spectacles. The spectacles make him relatable. You know, regular Hulk smash. Professor Hulk spectacles. Now I can sidle up next to him, have a convo.
We love a gentle giant. That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. He's got a fun sense of humor. He's self-deprecating. He knows he's big and giant and brilliant, but he like puts his.
Right.
That's why I'm saying these worms. Maybe you irradiate them, and the other worms are like, I don't know.
Well, what Nippling found was that it takes exactly 5.5 to 5.7 days to irradiate a screw worm into a point where it can't fuck. It can still fuck. It's still fuckable.
Yeah.
But it's shooting blanks. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So it's like it's like that point that all dudes reach around like 47. Like at 47, dudes are like optimal kind of daddy hotness, right?
Yeah.
But like they're probably not having any more kids. You know what I mean? Like it's probably any more than that. You get to like 50 and it's like, now they're less attractive to a large portion of the population. Is that what you're thinking? And also, you're pretty close to 50, right?
I didn't want you to go there. I was trying to try to change the subject before we got there. But I'll tell you this. I'm happily sterile. I'll tell you that right now. I got the old snip snip. Which, again, a topic for another podcast.
But that's what I'm saying is you could have saved yourself the money because you're so close to natural sterility and also the end of your attractiveness.
Boy, don't I know it.
Hey,
I know what you're thinking, though. I know what the question that's on your
lips. Why do you think you always know what I'm thinking?
I just have a sense of what you may be
wondering.
You're
right about 30% of the time. It's basically just random.
Anthony, I know what you're wondering. If we have to hold on to these, these screw worms for 5.7 to 5.5 days, how the hell are we feeding these things if they eat fucking raw meat? What are we doing? How are we doing
it? How do we feed them? Yeah, how do we feed them without irradiating their food?
Literally millions of these things in a giant warehouse. By 1962, the screw worms at the Mission plant were consuming 240,000 pounds of meat and 10,000 gallons of whole raw blood every week.
Jeff, we're feeding them the poor, aren't we? There's no way we have enough animals for that. We're feeding them the poor. And this was in the 60s, and you said we're still doing it today.
Yes, we're still doing it today. So here's in the 60s, they were giving them...
No, shut up, because you thought you knew what I was thinking and what I was going to ask, but you were wrong. You were wrong. Shut up. No, here's the question. We're still doing this today? We haven't thought of a better way to do this yet?
I'm getting to that, Anthony. I know what you're thinking.
You don't know what I'm thinking. You're about to go off on a different thing.
No, you're thinking, there's got to be a better way.
Fucking hell.
There's got to be a better way than in 1961 when we were giving them horse, whale, pig, cow lung.
And the poor. Listen.
Maybe the poor.
But I can picture there's got to be a better way just made me think of fucking Dr. Nippling with an armload of fucking these screw worms tripping around in a kitchen just like, I've got to feed all these screw worms. There's got to be a better way. Boy, I'm just like, I'm doing the lamest fucking jokes today. I've got the most garbage shit.
No, it's okay. At least you know the difference between vodka and tequila.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it's all the vodka and tequila I had before the show.
Just research.
It's been a weird, bad week, man.
So here's the current diet of the screw worms, 20 million a week. Yeah. Their current diet is milk, eggs, and powdered blood.
G Fuel.
Do you know how to get powdered
blood?
How do we get powdered
blood?
You
put G Fuel in the chat and you get 10% off. Powdered blood. I mean, I would imagine the same way we get powdered anything. We get blood and we dehydrate it. When you think about how big the livestock industry is around the world, all of those animals need to have their blood drained and removed, especially if they're going to be kosher.
And hey, you're going to throw that away and not use it? You could send it off to the mission plant. They'll take it. They'll powder your blood to put some milk, some eggs in it, and they reconstitute it, thickening it with cellulose into a dark brown sludge.
Would you try it?
They wouldn't let me try it, though?
Would you try it?
Fuck no.
I'd try it.
Are you kidding? I would try it. Oh, God, that's so foul.
I'm one of those people where the first time I got a dog, I was like, I gotta know, and I immediately ate dog food.
Yeah, but it wasn't powdered blood, dude.
I mean, have you ever read the list of ingredients on dog food?
Is it powdered blood?
I mean, it's mostly powdered blood. No, I mean, it's not much better most dog foods. But no, I'm one of those people. If they were like, it's made of milk, eggs, and blood, shit, man, that's one part of a traditional English breakfast right there. You basically got half of it. You put that on some toast, and that's fucking Bob's your uncle. You know what I'm saying?
I guess all these screw worms are just like English aristocrats.
They basically are. This whole thing has just been me picturing tiny vampire worms in different costumes. And ba da ba ba ba, Jeff, I am loving it.
So here's what they do. They pump that gunk into big trays. They have it in a 102 degree hatching room where the screw worms get into feeding pockets. They say they line up like cigarettes in a carton, their mouths shoved down into the food and their white tails wiggling in the air. And people work in
this 100 degree room. Sounds like capitalism, am I right, everybody?
It's a metaphor.
Fucking listen to a Tool album. Follow Pearl Jam around for a couple months, idiots. Anyway, go on.
Animal Farm, read it, dummies. So the 102 degree room is to create a situation that feels like the surface of a hot-blooded animal.
Hell yeah.
I'd like to feel the surface
of a hot-blooded animal. That's what Rudyard Nippling said right before he died. Look up Rudyard Nippling on Urban Dictionary. Turn the safe search off.
So anyway, they're eating away, you know, on what they think is a hot-blooded, warm-blooded
now,
animal.
Jeff.
And then we just radiate them and sterilize them, send them off to fucking screw worm spring break, and beep, bap,
Bob's
boom,
your uncle, as they say. No,
Bob's your uncle, we're done.
So Jeff, I guess my question was, not have we found a better way to feed them. Why are we still irradiating millions of worms every week? Why has this problem not gone away?
It works.
What do you mean it works?
It works.
It doesn't work to the point where these worms are gone.
Well, what?
It's or not even under that control. We're at the point where we're still irradiating the same number of worms for 40 years. That doesn't mean it's working, Jeff.
But because, Anthony, we've just created a wall. We have not attempted to eliminate them from the larger global population. The USDA is only in charge of U.S. territories. We've just created a wall on the Panama-Colombia border where we say these things are not coming in. And that wall, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And by me, I mean...
A tiny worm version of Jon Snow.
Exactly.
This sounds bad. Like, this just sounds... This sounds ineffective and bad. It sounds like an old solution to an old problem that shouldn't be a problem anymore, if I can be honest.
Yeah, but we should be definitely excited about being able to get rid of COVID, right? Because there are outside-the-box techniques that could be used.
I don't see the parallel you're drawing there, other than we're all depressed right now about COVID. So I don't get what you're about, but I'll tell you this, Jeff. I don't like this worm situation. There, I said it.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you the screwworm scientific name.
Rudyard Nippling?
It's Hominy vorax, which translates to man-eater.
Oh.
Because it was named after an outbreak on Devil's Island in the 19th century in the penal colony. It broke out in the penal colony and it ate humans alive.
Wow.
Kind of buried the lead on that one, but yeah.
I thought you were going to say that it's because it was discovered by Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Whoa, here it comes.
Many people don't know that they hold numerous doctorates. And not just in feel good music, which they hold an honorary doctorate in. Catchy
you gotta,
tunes.
You have to read their seminal. No, you got to read their seminal paper. Watch out, boy! They'll chew
That's
you
right.
up.
It was published in the. it was published in the peer reviewed journal, Scientific Journal of Research and Reviews. Which once again, it's time to renew your subscription to that one if you want all your bird. And screwworm news written by hot pop stars of the 80s. By the way, I know we said that we were only sponsored by the Concerned Citizen on Patreon.com, but we're actually sponsored by the Scientific Journal of Research and Reviews. Do we regret it? I don't know. Shut up. But
you, by the way, you cannot miss this month's article by Lionel Richie. About how birds are real weird still.
Lionel Richie is like, do you think my cat, Lionel Richie wrote a seminal paper, do you think my cat's seeing a ghost? Dr. Lionel Richie. Folks, if you want more hard-hitting science journalism, we are the last science show on the planet.
Yeah. So... You're welcome.
Number one, you're welcome. And number two, if you need more good, real, honest science from educated people who win awards for their show, you need to head to patreon.com.
I dare you to try to find something that'll teach you as much as we've taught you in this hour of listening.
Somebody tweeted at me about something called Star Talk, and it sounds like it's for fucking nerds. So leave that alone. Yeah. Or something called Ted. I don't know who Ted is, but he doesn't know as much as we do.
You know what? I bet those people are nerds that don't know how to drink all of the liquors. You know what I'm saying? I love drinking a liquor.
If you want to support Jeff's clear liquor habit, head to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. You get bonus episodes. You get early episodes. You get access to the Discord. And it's the only way that we fund and support the show. So we really appreciate y'all for doing it.